The voice of former UNLV quarterback Caleb Herring. He's the color analyst on the radio during the games. He's also one of the co-hosts of the Tony Sanchez radio show. It's back tomorrow in the district at Parkway Tavern each week. They split between the two locations, the district, and on the west side at 215 and Flamingo. So give me a couple of players on defense who stood out for you.
Well, obviously, Rashad Jackson was the first one, and it was just his sheer stature on the field. I mean, he was huge in the middle at linebacker, and there was a lot of questions if he was going to be available and how much he was going to play because he didn't come on until late in camp. So the learning curve was a little bit of a worry, but he definitely proved why he was a valuable addition during the offseason coming from Florida, and he made his presence felt. I think he was second in tackles behind only Evan Ostry, and I think Evan Ostry was the other person that stood out to me defensively in the secondary, making a lot of tackles. And that was the real highlight for me for UNLV in the secondary. That's one of the question marks going forward in the season. But they did give up some catches, but the tackling seemed much better overall as a group defensively. But if I had to pick a name that stood out, it was Rashad Jackson. It's probably because I was watching him a lot more just to kind of see what he was all about. And he made his presence felt, to say the least.
What about on the defensive line? I mean, we didn't get to see a ton of those guys because there was heavy rotation. Did you see Southern Utah doing anything special with Dadashian?
No, I didn't see them doing anything special. I don't think they had a game plan for him. I think that the tempo of their offense and the quickness of the releases for, like, they had a lot of quick hitting plays. So the quarterback was getting rid of the ball quick. The runs were, you know, they're up on the line quick. And I think just the natural blocking scheme of those kind of inside zone reads, you get a lot of double teams up front. So I think that may have contributed to Nick having a little bit of a quiet game, but he definitely still made his presence felt. And anytime linebackers are making a lot of tackles like Jackson was, it's because the D-line is doing their job and occupying blockers and giving free lanes for the linebackers to run through. So I didn't see anything particularly special from any one individual on the defensive line. Of course, Gabe McCoy makes his return back. He didn't play at all last week. He'll be back in the lineup. So maybe a better chance with, you know, Arkansas State and their 50 pass attempts last week. Maybe there's a little bit more of a chance for that D-line to get aggressive and make more of an imprint on the game. But I think as a unit, that whole front seven, I think, worked well together. And not many made huge plays standing out to me, but I did have my eyes on Dashian, and he's going to be a factor in the season. I didn't notice any special game planning this week, but I think he's going to be a factor going forward.
Charles Williams had an awesome game. He's going to be the bell cow. Maybe get more carries than Lexington Thomas. He had 143 on 15 carries, and then they took the foot off the gas pedal with Charles in the middle of the third. Are you getting a little concerned about depth behind him? Because Chad Magyar was supposed to be a big contributor. Right now he's dealing with some issues off the field. And then Courtney Reese, poor little guy from Miami, true freshman, almost got broken in half. Now it looks like he may be back for – he's questionable this week. He may be back for Northwestern. But, you know, all of a sudden that depth at running back's being tested a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it works out better when it's a Charles Williams guy at number one, because he is a true every down back with his size and the way he plays. But it's a long season, and you do want to have more depth. It's something that the Rebels haven't really had an issue with, because they've had a three-headed monster at running back pretty much since Sanchez has taken over. But no, the way he runs, Charles Williams, he can be an every down back, so the depth isn't as much of an issue when he's healthy. But should he go down, there is some concerns. I know Darren Williams touched the ball a lot during the game, and he showed some glimpses that he had some burst to him as well. But without maybe it's because Charles has separated himself so much from the pack that it seems like depth may be an issue. But I think everybody else, there's some solid running backs on the depth chart behind him, and Darren Williams, I think, was one that stood out to me over the course of last week's game that has some potential to make an impact as well.
I want you to talk about, you played quarterback, but you know, you have to know everything on the offense. I want you to talk about the maturation of the running back and the running back position, because one of the slight knocks on Charles in the past was, hey, you know what? When it's pass protect time, sometimes Charles wasn't concentrating, wasn't using the right technique. As a quarterback, talk about the challenge of kind of the mental challenge of having a running back in front of you who may be a great runner, but you know, you're looking, you're like, okay, is he going to make the block here? Is he going to be doing the right thing on this play?
Yeah, that definitely is a point of concern when you're quarterbacking, because the running backs these days are much more vital to picking up protections and and blitzes from the defense, and you rely on them literally. Like, if this guy blitzes, I need to know that my running back knows where he's going and he's not hesitating at all, because all it takes is a split second lapse and all of a sudden you got a free guy rushing off the edge. So it definitely is a comfort thing for a quarterback to know that when you make a mic adjustment or slide the protection one way, your running back automatically knows where he's supposed to go and is in the right spot at all times. And that was something that Lex was actually good at, is being in the right place at the right time for blocking in the passing game. Like you said, Charles struggled with it in the past, but hopefully that thing gets worked out, because I know as a quarterback, like you said, as a quarterback, there's no worse feeling than your running back tapping you, asking what he's supposed to do or who he's supposed to block, because then you're now focused on the rush instead of focusing on your reads down the field. So it's definitely important. And running backs, and I think centers even more so, have to be very, very instrumental to a quarterback's development and maturation, because they all have to kind of understand the blocking scheme as well. There's a lot of times where the center is pointing out and giving some alerts to the quarterback, and where the running back has to work in concert with the offensive line to know who that unblocked man is going to be. So it's important for the running back to pick it up. Otherwise, the quarterback's going to have a rough night.